Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Lovumentary, where every week I, your host, Nate Bagley, sit down and talk to people about love and relationships. This week is episode number 36 with Ty and Terry. They are from Omaha, Nebraska. They've been married for 27 years, and they are amazing human beings. This episode is by far one of our favorites from the road trip that we just finished, and I'm pretty sure you'll be able to know exactly why after listening to this conversation. It's actually so good that I decided to make two episodes out of it instead of just one. So this week and next week will contain snippets from our conversation with Ty and Terry. I hope you enjoy it. Also, I would like to apologize for the fact that a lot of the audio on this episode is kind of, my levels are really weird, so it could sound like the volume is really, really loud. That is my fault. The headphone jack on my mixer broke, and, I didn't really have a way to monitor the sound during the episode, and blah, 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 excuses, technical glitches, whatever, but the audio is still usable, it's just not amazing, so if your ears are offended, I apologize, but hopefully you will still take some amazing value out of this amazing conversation. How many times can I say amazing in one intro? I don't know. You can count and tell me. That is all. And I love you.
It's great to have you guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You guys are on the internet.
Oh, my gosh.
Finally. We finally arrived.
Is this your first time on a podcast?
I know it is mine.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You guys are podcast live virgins.
What's that?
It's not live, so we'll, like, edit it.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
So normally we start off interviews just with the simple question of how you guys met and fell in love. Will you guys tell us that story?
Oh boy, how much time do you have?
Which version do you want?
Well, you said you have an hour, so.
It takes him an hour just to tell the story.
I love telling the story.
Well, we love hearing it already.
Okay, so if you don't mind if me starting. So we're out in Southern California, West Coast, San Bernardino, where the smog settles.
Yes.
And we were in graduate school, we were in seminary, and I was studying to become a pastor, and you were studying to get your master's in biblical counseling.
Yes.
So, you know how the first year students show up a week early to get oriented. Mm-hmm. And so I knew nobody in Southern California. And so I heard that somebody's house, somebody was, you know, the old school slides, like the slide squares, right? Some students, seminary students, had been to Israel and were going to do a slideshow on their summer in Israel. And I'm like, you know, it sounds really boring, but it's better than staying in my hotel room alone. And so I went to the slideshow and I met this girl named Terry Alexander. Mm-hmm. Terry.
Me.
And I can still see her dress. It's a black and white dress. And Terry's half Lebanese, half Italian. So she has amazing skin pigment. So it's like, her skin was just like bronze, teeth just white, and I was eating a chocolate chip cookie, and we just started talking. Well, one of the first things we found out is she's 5 years older than me. And so I was like, okay, if I need adult daycare.
Do you know how many times I've heard that phrase?
I'll hire Terry to watch
it. It never gets old, does it?
Yeah, I keep laughing at it.
It's funny every time.
That's the problem.
So we were talking and jiving a little bit. One of the things, we were both intimidated academically because, you know, I boast that in high school I was in the upper 50% of my high school class, please.
That's a big deal.
In undergrad, upper 75%. So, you know, just, you know, I'm saying, oh, what am I doing getting my master's degree? And then, you know.
Yeah, and for me, like, my fear was everybody was going to be really stodgy and really serious. Mm. And I love to have fun. So it's like, what if everybody just studies all the time? So we met each other and it was like, oh my gosh, good. There's another kindred spirit out there that likes to have fun and isn't super intelligent. So we became fast friends.
Yeah, so, but it was a good thing that I found out she's 5 years older than me because, like, in my mind, there was zero chance that she would give me the time of day, which initially was true because she started falling in love with one of my four roommates, and they would go to the beach together. Terry would ride in this front seat right next to him, but he was hypoglycemic. And so, like, if he had a candy bar, he was the life of the party. But then when the sugar ran out, he was like Dr. Depression. Right. So they kind of didn't last. And so then my mom and dad from Fremont.
Did you say my mommy?
Well, a little bit.
He says that every time, too.
because they said, hey, we want to come out for spring break and go shop, see you.
Right.
And then they said, hey, if you want to invite someone to, like, spend a day with us and go to Disneyland, finally get my ears.
Right.
They said, you know, invite whoever you want. And I thought, well, who's the funnest person I know at school or even in ever? Right. Yeah, in the neighborhood. It's like Terry Alexander. So we went to the library. I can take you back to the table. And we pulled out our old school. You guys have probably never seen calendars with paper.
Oh, yeah.
And number two, I've heard about timer. Those. It's a day timer.
And number the Franklin Covey planner.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
I'm with you.
Okay.
So number two, lead pencils, right? Uh-huh. And so we sat down and I said, okay, my mom and dad are coming to Southern California to spend a week with me. They're 23-year-old sons.
And we're going to Disneyland.
Emasculated. No, I'm kidding. So we agreed upon this date that she would join me and my family, me and my parents, to hang out together. Well, so the night before, I went to the payphone. I'm sure you guys have heard of payphones.
Uh-huh. Is this the longest story you've
ever heard? No, this is the best story so far.
So I get on the phone, right, put the quarter in, and I called up Terry Alexander to her apartment, and I said, hey, and her roommate Cindy answered the phone. I said, hey, Cindy, Ty here. Hey, just call him, Terry. Is Terry there? She's like, no. But she did leave a Dear John or a Ty note that she wants me to read to you. So she got on the phone and read this note that said, hey, Ty, sorry, I can't make it tomorrow. I'm with Marla in what town?
Camarillo.
In Camarillo.
All these years, you just could never remember the name of the darn city.
OMG, Osh, I cannot believe she stood me up. I was so ticked. Though. So it's like, all right, I'm shaking the dust off my feet.
How do you turn down Disneyland? Let me just
I have a
ask.
Rebuttal, but, you know, just let him go. This is how it goes, and then I'll tell you later.
Well, I don't want to lose momentum. Let's go.
No, yes.
I don't want to forget your rebuttal.
He is often
especially
running.
The second syllable.
Oh, well, yes, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Good thing this is just audio.
Rebuttal with two T's.
Yeah. Rebuttal.
Mercy.
Nice brand.
Open
tag.
The window.
So me and my parents went to Disneyland without Terry, had the time of our lives.
Not. You were pouting all day.
So we got back from Disneyland, and I called Terry at her apartment just to touch base, and she got on the phone. She answered the phone, and we were chatting a little bit, and I said, hey, I just need to be really honest with you. That was really frustrating that you didn't follow through on what we agreed as our plans.
Right.
But it kind of surprised me how upset I was and how disappointed I was. So it was like a flashpoint of, oh, my gosh, like I believe in some forms of evolution. I believe in love, yeah. Evolution.
I have feelings
yeah.
for this person.
Oh, my gosh. And then you were like surprised that. Well, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, first I have to get my rebuttal. Here's the rebuttal. But, you know, we didn't have cell phones back in those days, so you can't get a hold of someone when you want to. Marla had invited me to go to Camarillo with her. I had my spring break all planned out, three segments. And one segment was to be with him and his family. I got called for jury duty. And I had to go.
The famous jury duty.
And yeah, I was an innocent victim. And it's like I had to cut something out. Now, what I really wanted to do was to go with him. But I felt like the right thing to do, because she had asked me first, and I always hated it when my friends started hanging out with guys and they ditched all their girlfriends.
Yeah.
And so I thought, you know what, the right thing to do is go with Marla. I can't call him. I can't explain. I've just got to go. So I went, and was a turning point for us, because he's like, I have more feelings for you. Well,
so, okay, no, we're not going that quick. So anyway, so the next day or two, either the following day or 2 days later, I said, hey, we're going to go down to some place by San Diego.
You went to, San Juan Capistrano.
You didn't go to La Jolla, did you?
We've been to La Jolla, but not that time. You have a La Jolla story?
We have a very, very quick segue.
I say things a little bit awkward.
She's never been to the West Coast, and so we're in LA, and she's like,
hey.
Okay, she'd been to the West Coast very little.
I call it La Jolla.
She's like, when are we going to La Jolla? And I'm like, what? Anyway, so.
That's an understandable
mistake. We're learning
mistake.
La Jolla.
That's all.
Yeah.
It's spelled with a J.
So we went to San Juan Capistrano, and I just was like, I felt differently. You know, it was like I was being a little physically affectionate, almost like involuntarily.
Like, and we were both those kind of, we were huggers, we're whatever, right. But that day there was something different. Like, I remember looking at him and saying, now, what do your parents think? Like, they know we're just friends, right? Because he was kind of treating me different. He goes, oh, yeah, they know.
So, coming in for a landing on this episode.
Yes,
part of the
I mean,
story.
We're about out of time.
So, Sunday night, my mom and dad had departed. Not, like, died, but they went back to Fremont. And you ever heard of Bob's Big Boys?
I have now.
They're, like, restaurants that have huge porcelain fat boy
cutting
up a hamburger or something. So, that was, like, the place to go. And they had these hot fudge cakes. And so, Sunday night, after my parents had left, we went to Bob's Big Boy. And I was, like, a hockey player slapping around my Bob's Big Boy hot fudge sundae. Not devouring it like I usually do. But because I was really nervous because I thought, I've got to update Terry on how I feel. And she's like, are you okay? I said, no. I said, can we go and back over to my house? And she's like, yeah. So we get in her Toyota Celica GT hatchback and drive over to my house into the driveway. And it took me, we sat there. She was in the driver's seat, not symbolic of our future relationship. She was in the driver's seat.
It was my car.
And I just took it. It took me about, seriously, 40 minutes to get out of my mouth to say, Terry, I feel like I see you as more than a friend. And
well, you were saying what he was trying to proceed it with was, well, what I don't want to happen. Well, I'm afraid we're going to lose our friendship. And I'm thinking, what's he going to say? And I thought, the thought went through my mind, he's going to say we're hanging out too much. Like, we were together all the time. And when I had the thought that he was going to say that, I felt sad. So that was my first moment of like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. So he said what he was feeling and, you know, what I'm afraid. And I said, hey, it's a risk you take, and we won't know till we try. And from that day on, I think we were together probably every day after that. We started dating then, and
the one thing she's not telling you is after we had that conversation, she like lunged over the console and started like French kissing me. And I literally could not catch my breath. So with my left heel.
And that is such a lie.
I raised
and he tells that every time.
To honk the horn.
Do not believe her.
So my roommates would come and rescue me from the clutches of Terry's.
Right.
That part was his dream. He started fantasizing right away.
I admire your potential for dreaming.
It's kind of like that Dumb and Dumber scene where Jim Carrey, you know, is the wife of the party and Mary's falling in love with him.
And then he wakes up.
Exactly. Perfect analogy. Then he woke up. I was still behind the wheel.
That's a fantastic story. So from that point forward, you pretty much have just been together and in love.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got married.
We got married we got engaged that December.
Christmas?
That was like in April.
Christmas Day of 1985,
we got
engaged.
And he went home with me for Christmas that year to meet my whole family, and we got engaged on Christmas Day.
Are you guys pretty much always like this?
Like what?
Like this. Like fun.
Oh, yeah. We love to have fun.
Do you ever fight?
Yeah.
Yeah. We have conflict, but we know how to resolve it.
Tell me about that. Because it seems like you're two very deeply passionate people.
We are. We are a lot alike in a lot of ways.
And I think that something that Melissa and I have noticed on our journey together, both being very deeply passionate people, is that those passions can sometimes conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you're prepared to resolve them, like in other relationships, sometimes when somebody's not as passionate, it's a little bit easier because they're a little more even keel. And
right.
Can like rationalize. So with two people who are so exuberant, how do you guys resolve conflict?
You know, I feel like we have some ground rules in place. I mean, one of the things that I feel strongly about is always showing him respect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to say fight fair because I don't like that phrase, but I can't think of a better one right now. But just we will disagree. And sometimes it gets, I mean, we never scream at each other. We don't go there, but it'll feel tense and we'll know that we've got some work to do and we both will kind of say what we're thinking and, well, I feel this, or when you said that, I felt that. And we talk it through. I mean, we don't go like for a day and be mad at each other or anything like right. that.
Well, I mean, you know, we just to be totally honest, you know, we come from like a biblical perspective. And one of the principles is it talks about not letting the sun go down on your anger. Mm. And that is so cool because it's like a lot of couples, they stuff. And stuff and stuff and stuff. And then you hear about the couple that got a divorce because of how the husband used the toilet paper spindle or whatever.
Right, right. Toilet paper came off the wrong side.
Yeah, it's like, oh, please, really? But like, if they've been stuffing for many, many years, the toilet paper could be the tipping point. Mm-hmm. And so, like, so the next conflict we have, which could be before we go to bed tonight or tomorrow at noon, it's like it'll be that conflict and that conflict. Mm-hmm. Only, and not that conflict plus what we didn't resolve in 1992 or in 2005. Right. And so we're just like, and so for us, conflict has really been a source of our love going deeper because the conflict has really caused us to like listen to one another's hearts and validate one another's hearts and say, hey, will you forgive me for being selfish, or will you forgive me for being impatient, and where the other one will say, well, I forgive you. And so and that has just been gold in terms of us effectively resolving conflict. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it feels real mechanical,
right?
But it's like, the reality is it's deepened our intimacy, our heart intimacy.
Yeah, have you always been that way, or did that develop over time?
I mean, we've fine-tuned it over time, but pretty much, I mean, we both, like Ty said, we both have a committed relationship with the Lord. And so, you know, my goal, I mean, I want to be a great wife, but ultimately I want to honor God with the way that I treat my husband. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a win-win. So we have friends that would say, you know, we've been married for 27 years. And some of our friends will say, well, I've been married for 30 years, 10 of them happily. And we're blessed with, you know, but they turned it around,
which
is awesome.
Which is an awesome thing.
But we have been, I mean, we have had a great marriage. We've been best friends our whole marriage. And it's gotten better. I mean, we say to people all the time, we're more in love now than we were on the day that we got married.
What does that mean?
That means that every year we've grown in intimacy and in love for one another and commitment. Like, I'm crazy about him and I love who he is. He's an amazing father and amazing. I mean, and I'm a better me because of how he's loved me. And I hope that he would say the same. It's like, it just gets richer and deeper. And we know that it's a gift. I mean, we are very blessed. We know we are. And I say that with humility. And we have worked with young people our whole journey. And many, many young people have said to us, we want a marriage like yours. And that's, you know, like I said, we're humbled by that. But what we say is, you can, but we've worked really hard at this. Mm-hmm. It's very gratifying that it inspires other people, because we say, you know what, your marriage is, if you're willing to work at it, And also not be selfish. It's like, I care about him more than I care about myself. That's the goal. And his is too. And it makes for a beautiful marriage.
Well, like one of the biggest gifts she's given me is just a deep respect. And like, when we talk about marriage, you know, I say a man's greatest need is respect from his wife. That's 1A. 1AAA is sex. And so the new word I've come up with is, the greatest need a husband has is resexed. and she just, I mean, it's just like the way she relates to me, it's like, it's the biggest, like, what do pharmacists give you so you don't get sick? I can't think of it. Like an antibiotic. That's not the right word, but one of the biggest antibiotics.
Probiotic?
I don't know, but like the thing that
would you believe
keeps you from getting sick. I can't think of the word. But anyway,
vitamins.
We're going to stop here until we figure this word out. Would you believe?
Like, she's the way she loves me is it's like
inoculate.
Preventative medicine.
Inoculate.
It's like in terms of having an affair.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh my gosh. I mean,
is it the shots that you give babies?
Vaccinations.
And the rebuttal.
And then we'll never know what it was.
And then I think the greatest, like, gift a husband can give his wife is security And so, but not just like financial, but like emotional, relational security. Mm-hmm. So like I work all the time. I work overtime sending her the message that like till death do we part, like her yes, all the other women no, all the other women in the world no. And so it's just really been...
It's kind of super. It's supernatural.
Yeah, it feels like a supernatural.
We feel like we have a gift.
I want to talk more about that. When you're talking about respect, like, what does that mean? What is when you say men need respect? Like, what? Can we talk more about that?
Like, another word is like honor. Like, I honor him. Like I would never say, oh my gosh, my husband's such a, or oh, you know, I wish he was like just. I've been around women who are bad-mouthing their husbands, right, either publicly or privately. It is the most awkward, uncomfortable, sad thing to me. It's like, this is my husband. And
you know everything about me, and therefore, you know, the weaknesses. And so, like, our wives have, like...
The dirt.
The dirt, the ammunition that they could use to tear down their husbands.
Which would be... I mean, I just would never... I would seek to never do that. And I feel like early in our marriage, I got the vision of the power of a wife in a man's life, and I realized that the way that I loved him would really impact the man he would become. And it's a biblical principle, and I believed it, and it's so true. And then I was reading, Philip Yancey wrote a book, What's So Amazing About Grace. And I don't remember a lot about the book, but I remember this one part he talked about that psychologists identified what they call the looking glass theory. And the looking glass theory says you become what the most important person in your life thinks that you are. And it like articulated what I had felt all this time. It's like how I feel about him and how I love him has the power to propel him to even greater things than he would be without me. And that's what that's the kind of wife I want to be.
Sure, you comment about like at the end of my life.
Yeah, and I felt like that what God put in my heart was, I'll get choked up here, but at the end of Ty's life, I want him to be able to say that Terry was the greatest earthly blessing in my life, like the best thing that ever happened to me, and that I'm a better man because of how she loved me. And that's the goal that I live with every day. That's how I want to love this man.
God, it's so awesome.
And you know, it's just
now we're gonna cry. Don't mind us.
It's just not talk. It's like I mean, you remember the old Rocky scenes where Adrian got in Rocky's grill and said, you know, you can do it. You're a champ. I mean, that's like how she relates to me, because I struggle with fear and insecurity, and she just like, yeah. I mean, everything she's saying is, it's not hype. It's our experience.
I have a more favorite scene in a movie. Have you seen Cinderella Man?
Yeah.
And he's not going to fight. She doesn't want him to fight anymore. And she says, I'm not going to come. And he fought one more time. And she wasn't going to be there. And finally, at the end, she shows up. And, you know, she walks into the locker room. It's an amazing scene. And he said, I thought you weren't going to come. And the phrase that comes out of her mouth is, I know you can't win without me. And then she grabs him and she goes, you are the... Whatever she said, you know, you're the
you're gonna win.
Morning star of this city, and you are our everything. And I mean, it's like she gave him this giant pep talk face to face. It's like, I believe in you, and nothing's going to take you down. It's like, I love that scene. It's like, that's the kind of wife I want to be. And I want to inspire other women to do that too.
That's awesome.
Because you know what? A healthy marriage is the foundation of family. Family's the foundation of our society, and marriages are crumbling.
Yeah.
So it's like we are passionate about marriage, not just our marriage. It's like we feel like we've been given a gift, and we know we want to pay it forward.
That's so cool. Sorry. I can tell you want to ask a question, so go ahead.
I do. I just, you know, I've interacted with so many couples in my, you know, somewhat short life, and it is rare. It is really rare to sit across from a table and feel that warmth between two people. And it's so clear that the two of you have it, like in spades. And I guess as a single person, I was describing it this way earlier today. You know, the hard thing about being single is everyone keeps telling you to wait for something that you don't have a personal experience of.
Yeah.
And so you're just like, you're hoping for the Ty or the Terry. But all you have is what you know.
Yeah. And the closest we can get is experiencing this vicariously. Like,
yes,
feeling the runoff of what you guys feel for each other is, like, the closest thing I think that we can get to, like, knowing.
Agreed.
When we meet somebody else, like, oh, yeah, like, that reminds me of what I felt when I was with Ty and Terry, so this must be legit, you know? Yeah.
I think Nate and I are really blessed in that we get to be in the room, but not everybody does, you know? I mean, I think about my story. Like, I was raised by a single mom, so loving, you know, just an incredible upbringing. I have no regrets about I'm so grateful for the way I grew up, but it doesn't mean that there weren't holes, and not everyone gets to be in the room with Ty and Terry. So I just want, I guess for me, and then also for everyone that I get to interact with, like, how do you know when you've hit the end of the spectrum, when you've hit your tire, Terry? Like, how do you know? Like, is there a way? Are there things that when you guys were in the beginning and you didn't have the 40 years of marriage, or how long have you guys been married?
27.
27 years of marriage. You didn't have the 27 years of marriage to say, I'm more in love now than I was when I got married.
Were you guys just lucky, or was there some, like, did you just, were you like, nope, I cannot run for, like, this is it?
I feel like both. I feel like we are incredibly blessed. I mean, we feel like our marriage is supernatural and it's a gift from God. We believe that. But we do believe that there's some things that we've done to help that blessing come to us. But before, when I was sitting where you were sitting, I didn't get married until I was 30. I didn't meet Ty until I was 28, and a lot of my friends were getting married, and I longed to be a wife and a mom. I feel like I was born to be a mom. Loved those years. We have four children.
When we were in seminary and went on the school retreats, she kept stealing babies. It was so sweet, like, in a good way.
Yeah.
And that was a tipping point for me too, because, like, parallel wise, I've just longed to be a dad. I remember being in sixth grade and thinking, I can't wait to be a dad. Yeah. Be able to bite my kids' cheeks almost to the point of them bleeding.
Yeah.
Just, you know, being a dad's heart. And so at the retreats, when I saw Terry Alexander, you know, swooping in on the strollers, you know, and taking the babies off their tired mom's hands, you know, from taking care of the kids. It's like, oh my gosh, that is, that's what I want, you know?
But back to when I was sitting where you were sitting, seriously, and longing for, and fear. I had a fear in my heart. What if it never happens?
Right.
And I love my parents. They're wonderful people, but there's some things that, like we've learned how to resolve conflict and we've gotten closer every year and there's deep emotional intimacy. And I don't think my parents had poured into them what we've had. So it's like, I knew I wanted something amazing, but I hadn't quite seen it yet.
Just like what you're saying.
Just like what you're saying. And then I met this couple, Kathy and Tim they were it.
They were your Ty and Terry.
They have, there it is. It's like, okay, there it is. That's what I want. And actually, that's what God used to make himself real to me, because Kathy, you know, I liked her. She came in to have her teeth cleaned. I was her hygienist. And I looked at her chart, you know, and you live on Westview Drive? And she said, well, I just moved there. And I'm like, I live on Westview Drive. I'm your neighbor. And have you ever met someone that you liked instantly?
Yeah.
It was her.
I think we just did meet.
Oh, shucks. But you know what? It's like, I was so drawn to her. And then I met her husband, and they had this dynamic marriage. And she was very bold about, she goes, I love Jesus. And I'm like, oh no, you're not one of those born again Christians, are you?
Here we go.
Because, you know, I thank you very much. Yeah. But no, thank you. But she was. And she, for the first person ever that really demonstrated to me what it meant to have a relationship. She was just in love with God, and it was very real and genuine, and she wasn't weird and freaky, and they had an amazing marriage. And it's like, okay.
And they were sharp. She was a sharp.
Yeah. I mean, they broke every stereotype of what I thought a Christian was, frankly.
Yeah.
And so through their influence, we became fast friends. She started a Bible study in our neighborhood. I went to her Bible study thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to get out of this? And my life was never the same. So I came into a relationship with the Lord through her influence. And she and her husband would keep saying to me, T, you're going to have a marriage just like ours. He's out there. You're going to meet him. And You know, I dated a few guys after that.
What?
And there was one, I mentioned this last night in our teaching, that...
Were they all named Chad?
They were all named Kevin.
They were not. Just one.
Just
but,
one.
And that wasn't after that. That was way before. That's but right. This, like, this one guy in particular that I dated, he was a nice, neat guy. But I could tell, like, he was an only child and he wasn't really close to his parents. Mm. And that to me was like, okay, that's not going to be. And when I met Ty, I mean, he was so full of life, so full of love. Full of integrity, full of passion, and the more I got to know him, like, there wasn't anything like, oh, I don't know about this. And, like, he wasn't perfect. Like he said, he struggles with fears and had some insecurities, so did I. But I just knew that he was the kind of person I wanted to spend the rest of my life with, and I had to figure out how to get him to marry me.
That's awesome.
That is so awesome.
And, you know, I think a lot of, for, like, especially for women... you know, we have so many voices over the years that speak things to us. And I think for a lot of women, it's almost like that voice of, you know, A, it really can't happen. Like, you can never have a Ty and Terry relationship, even though, I mean, that's not true. But, like, those voices seem real to us.
Yeah.
And then, like I think a dad, I think every dad should be on a mission to convince his daughter that they are beautiful internally and externally. And so if that becomes real, then it's like, you know, it's like you, it just, it like involuntarily raises the standard in your heart. And it's like, you're not going to
settle for less
and try to fill that void of that love that you're seeking in an unhealthy relationship. So I don't know if that answered the question, but
I mean, yes.
It was a great comment.
Thank you to Colors for our intro music today, and also to Maddie Blades for our theme music. Join us next week as we complete the Ty and Terry Conversation podcast episode. And if you have questions or concerns or comments or ideas for the podcast, feel free to drop us a line at loveyoumentory.com/contact.
You can be my Wonder Woman, and I will be your Superman. I want someone to hold and to love and grow old.